It's a downtime. All of us have family members that we used to celebrate Christmas with that are no longer around, whether it be parents that have gone on or brothers or sisters, someone, friends close to us, maybe even children. I know, though this is a happy time for us, Josh on Sunday would turn 30 years old. But the Lord took him 6 years ago, and so he's not here for that, and that always makes it kind of puts a little damper on things. And yet that's the natural pattern of life. And what I'm thankful for is that the Lord knows that. The Lord knows that when He created man in the Garden of Eden and that man fell into sin, that along with that tag of sin came a whole lot of other baggage. And one of the things that will be nice about heaven, there will be no depression, no discouragement, no brokenheartedness. But that's not the way it is right now on earth. Right now there are things that, if I can steal the words of the psalm, you can turn there, Psalm 42 is where we're going to be reading tonight, but if I can steal the words of the psalmist here, there's times when we're just cast down, when our hearts are disquieted within us. I'm going to preach this evening on depression. Not because I'm experiencing it, I want you to know that's not the reason. But because as I have my ears open this time of year, it's a very important topic. A lot of folks have a hard time celebrating this time of year because maybe someone was lost right at this time. And that puts a damper on things. And I'm glad that the Bible is not immune to our human frailties. God does not require us to be super saints. He wants us to walk with Him. He wants us to fellowship with Him. But He also understands our frailties. And what I'm thankful for is that the Bible gives us the remedy for our frailties. Now I want to say this tonight as we begin. If you are or when you go through a time of depression, I'm not preaching a sermon tonight to tell you that when it happens, you're out of the will of God. You're in deep sin, and if you just get your heart right, you'd get out of it. We're going to see tonight that some of the greatest saints of God in the Bible went through times of depression. And if God's chiefest saints have gone through it, then I'm sure there's something in His Word. In fact, I really believe this. There is more in the Bible about depression than there is about many other subjects. About our hearts being disquieted within us. About being downhearted. The word depression is not a biblical word. It's more of a clinical word. And for some of you that are older, for you, the word depression means the 1930s. All right, we use that depression means there's an economic depression. They talk about tropical depressions, and that is when the atmosphere, pressure in the atmosphere drops. Well, depression is when our spirits drop. Not when the economy drops or the atmosphere drops, but when our spirits drop. We have taken that word and applied it to this. Look, if you would, at Psalm 42. It's not long, so we'll read each of the verses in Psalm 42. And actually, we won't have time, but you could spill into chapter 43. Because both of these are these two Psalms, the subject of them is depression. Psalm 42, David said, as the heart, and the heart is a deer, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember Thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of Thy waterspouts. All Thy waves and Thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast Thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is Thy God? Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? Why art Thou disquieted within me? Hope Thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Notice at the end of the next Psalm, Psalm 43 and verse 5, he repeats what he said twice in this Psalm. Why art Thou cast down, O my soul? Why art Thou disquieted within me? Dealing with depression has become a billion-dollar industry. From neuroscience to psychology, people try to diagnose the causes of depression. Without a doubt, there are medical problems that cause depression. Job experienced that. Why was I born? Why died I not from my mother's womb? His physical problems caused such great depression. He wished he'd never been born. Mental problems sometimes can cause us. Emotional problems can cause us depression. But we need to remember this, that depression's not the result of medical problems or mental problems. Depression is the result of being a human being. So that when someone is going through depression, we need not look at them like it's a medical issue or a mental issue. It's a human issue. And we're all susceptible to it, to one degree or another. Now, I would tell you this. If a preacher is prone to depression, he needs to get a different job. Because the two wouldn't go together. So, again, what I'm saying tonight is not bragging or anything, but saying this is not something that I particularly have a big issue with, but it is a big issue. And we all face it at different times for one reason or another. And thankfully, God understands that and takes care of it for us. Someone has said it this way about the saints. There are even times when the upright are uptight. And there's times where even the children of God get down. This is David writing Psalm 42. David, the king of Israel. I mean, what in the world's he got to be depressed about? He's living in a palace. He's got all the clothing and the food he could ever want. He's got servants all the way around him. But you know this, money doesn't bring happiness. There are folks that think that, only to get it and find out it doesn't. And David is writing this and saying, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? He said that three times in these two Psalms. This thing of depression affects everybody. Even the saints of God. Moses. Moses leading the children of Israel through the wilderness got so weary of their groaning and their moaning and their complaining that it caused him to go into a fit of depression. And he said, I am not able to bear all these people myself. Kill me. That's what he told God. I can't do this. I can't handle this. It's more than I can bear. God, kill me. Moses, the writer of the first five books of the Old Testament, the writer of the law, the one mentioned in the New Testament over and over again. You don't get much higher than that. And Moses had problems with depression. Elijah, the great prophet, after the battle of Mount Carmel, sitting down under the juniper tree, saying, Father, take my life, I'm no better than my father's. I'm the only one left that's serving God right. And he sat under that juniper tree till God finally came around, kicked him in the side and said, get up and get going. What are you doing sitting there under that tree, Elijah? I've got 10,000 others that have not bowed down the knee. He was in a fit of depression. Elijah the prophet. As I've already mentioned, Job. Sitting there and wishing he'd never been born. Questioning God as to why this is happening to him. I think of the New Testament of John the Baptist. After having boldly proclaimed, he must increase and I must decrease. Here's one whose latchet of his shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. This is the Son of God. Why are you coming to me to be baptized? I should be being baptized of you. And then later he's thrown in prison. And he sends his disciples to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Why am I in prison if you're here and I've announced that you're here? Even the great apostle Paul wrote one time that he despaired even of life. Now folks, I'm here to tell you this evening that if Moses, Elijah, David, Job, Paul, and John the Baptist struggled with depression, you're not alone. We're in good company. And if it affects God's people that drastically, God is going to give us something in His Word about it. Look, if you would, at Psalm 42. I'll give you the 2 points of the message this evening, and then we'll look at them. Number one, we're going to look at the serious problem of depression in Psalm 42. The serious problem of depression. Then number two, the spiritual provision for depression. The spiritual provision for depression. Now, here's the thing. Here's the catch. Once you walk out these doors tonight, you'll have no excuse. The next time you get downhearted, the next time you get discouraged, you'll have no reason to succumb to it, because I'm going to give you tonight the biblical answer, not my answer, not the psychological answer. I'm going to give you the biblical answer to how to handle those things when they happen. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to happen. It doesn't mean that we're not still going to get hit hard by them, but at least we'll know what to do when it happens, because God has told us. Let's look, first of all, at the serious problem of depression. David had a hard time with it. You know, I looked up these things, and they tell us that there are different levels of depression. There's mild depression. There's manic depression. And then there's clinical depression. And I'm convinced in reading Psalm 42 and 43 that if the modern-day psychologists were to get David on his couch, they would put him in clinical psychology. They would say that he has got clinical depression. Because he reached about the height of it. And it wasn't because of money, and it wasn't because of health, it was because of circumstances. Circumstances drove King David to the point that he had a serious problem of depression. And you know, when somebody's in that serious thing, you can't just walk up to them and say, oh, cheer up, would you? It doesn't work that way. You can't just, you know, well, get over it. David had a problem. Let's notice at the effect that depression had on David. Look at verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 42. David wrote this, as the heart, again, the heart is a young deer. And you could just visualize this. As the deer in the woods panteth after the water brooks, as the deer for a drink of water desires to get to that small stream, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. David is in a time of spiritual abandonment. He feels like God has left him. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You know what a result of depression is? You feel like God has abandoned you. You say, where is God? Notice at the end of verse number 3, where is thy God? The end of verse number 10, where is thy God? That's an effect that depression has. That doesn't cause it. It's an effect of it. God, why are you? Where are you? Verse number 9, David said this, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? When you and I go through those times of depression, you know what? You know what we're really experiencing? A time where we think that God has forgotten us. Because surely if God was mindful of us, we wouldn't be going through whatever it is. Medically, mentally, circumstances, whatever it is? Doesn't God know? Doesn't He see? Doesn't He understand? That's a result. That's not the cause of, that's the result of depression. And when we find ourselves there, we need to go back to Psalm 42 and read it. And realize that David had the same problem and find out what the cure for that is. Now again, please don't misunderstand me. There are things like chemical imbalance. There are things like, what's the other one called? Carrie Fisher just died. And they said that she had, what is it? It's like chemical imbalance. What's the other thing? Bipolar. All right? That stuff's real. Don't misunderstand me. And those things are medical things that doctors can help. All right? So I'm not throwing something out there and saying there's never that kind of thing. But you know, the majority of that stuff is really a spiritual problem. The majority of it is. You know, people think, well, when you talk like that, you're against all that medical stuff. No, I know people. I know people that need to be on their prescriptions and keep their heads level and balanced. I understand. Most of us are not in that category. We have depression and it affects us mentally, but there's no imbalance there. And we get to the feeling where God has left us. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but can I tell you, this doesn't take a rocket science to figure out, rocket scientists. You know where the problem is right there? What did Moses say in his depression? I am not able to bear all this people. Hey, Moses, you're right, you're not. That's why God said He would help you do it. Elijah said, I am the only one that's still worshiping God. And God came down and said, Elijah, I've got 10,000 others. You know what this depression thing is? It's about focusing on the wrong person. It's about focusing on I. David even said it here in the 42nd Psalm. He said there in verse number 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Good night, you focus on yourself. There's a good reason to be depressed. He said in that verse, why art thou disquieted in me? See where the emphasis is? Now again, please don't... I'm not being judgmental and saying, if you have problems with depression, because you're selfish. But part of the problem is that our selfishness arises. And we worry about ourselves. You know what they say to do when you get discouraged about yourself? Go to the nursing home and watch those people for a little while. Go to the children's hospital and look at those young kids and what they're going through for a while. That helps us. Why? Because we get the focus off of ourselves. David's problem led him to question the presence of God. He felt like he was left all alone. My heart panteth after thee, O God. When shall I come and appear before thee? His depression made him question the presence of God. Look at verse 3. My tears have been my meat day and night. David cried continually. Tears, day and night. You ever been there? I think most of us have been there one time or another, where we're just so discouraged and so heartbroken. And the great David, the king, had experienced the same thing. Hopelessness. They say that hopelessness is one of the biggest symptoms of depression, where you just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And David, in his circumstances, surrounded by his enemies, and again, his circumstances were unique to him, just as your circumstances are unique to you. Well, no one understands me. You're right. Yeah, you're right. Nobody does. Get over yourself, because nobody's going to understand you, but God does. And David said, there's another place he says, I have watered my couch with tears, day and night. Another place he said, my tears are in a bottle. The theologians love to debate what that's all about. But David experienced such depression that it caused him, the Bible says, to cry day and night. That's a broken heart. Not over the loss of a loved one, not over understandable things, but during times of depression. The end of verse 3. He says, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Here's the downward spiral of depression. It makes us question the presence of God. It keeps us downhearted. It keeps us on the verge of tears. And then it makes those that know us question our faith. Question our fellowship with God. Question our reliance upon God. Oh, you've talked about God all the time. And you love going to church and you love praying and you love reading your Bible when everything's going good. But now there's some bad things happening in your life. And look at you. You're a basket case. It happens to us. I'm not judging anybody. It happens to us. David said when that happened to him, you know what those looking and watching him said? Hey, Dave, where is your God now? What's the problem? And David was tore up because he knew that his life was a poor witness when he was going through that time of depression. That doesn't mean we have to walk around glib. We have to walk around praising the Lord all the time and skipping and jumping and happy and smiling. But it does mean when those real dark times come, we need to get a hold of God and have Him brighten our day. And I struggled with this, how to communicate this. Because the tendency of people when they're depressed is to get in their house and shut the doors and pull down the blinds and turn the lights out and sit there and indulge themselves in it. And that's not good. But it's also not good when you're so down to get around a lot of other people and let them all see that. So we've got to find that medium somewhere. We've got to lift our spirits. Realizing that downcastness casts a shadow over a lot of people. I'm studying in Romans 14 right now for the Bible college lessons. And I was just studying a couple of days ago the verse that no man liveth to himself and no man dieth to himself. All of us, our light shines on somebody else. No matter how small our family circle, we have a church circle. and we affect people all around us all the time. And David is saying, I'm affecting people right now, but it's not for good. It's getting them to look at me and say, where is your God? Sometimes you go and follow up with folks. Haven't seen you in church for a while. Well, preacher, I'm going through some things. Well, that's the best time to be in church. Not to hold up in your house and get away from God. That's the best time to lie to the devil and make him think you feel better than you do. David felt like a failure. He felt like a poor testimony. David, the writer of the Psalms. Look at verse 4. Another effect that David's depression had. I remember these things. What do you remember, Dave? I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. And the voice of joy and of praise with multitude that kept holding. I remember better times. I remember happier days. And you get in that depression, you start reflecting on when things were good. And that just adds to your depression. Because they're not like that anymore. I said this. In the ministry, it's not good to be prone to depression. I remember when the church was fuller. I remember when there was more people. Boy, that'd be an easy way to get depressed. I remember when so-and-so used to be on fire for God. I remember when they used to just be there for anything that happened and whatever we got involved in, they were always there every time the doors were open. David said in verse number 4, I remember. I remember when I used to go with the multitude to church. When I used to go to the house of God with the voice of joy and of praise. with the multitude that kept holy day. And I've said already, folks, when they get depressed, get out of church. That's the best reason to get into church. David was longing for those better times, those times in the past. And it led to this. This is the bottom. A feeling of utter helplessness. Look at verse number 6. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Overwhelming circumstances. Feeling like you're drowning and you're never going to get to the top again. That feeling of helplessness. This is what depression does. It takes us down this path. And God has so adequately expressed it through David and his depression in the 42nd Psalm. The serious problem of depression. When you get to this point of depression, it doesn't matter how sunny it is outside. It's dark in here. The joyousness of others is just another reason to be angry, because there's no joy in here. David experienced these things. He walked that path. Let's look now at the spiritual provision for depression. What is the remedy for this problem? Now again, being careful. Not saying that there aren't those that need medications and different things for serious problems, all right? We're not casting that aside. But that is not the majority of people. The world's remedy for depression is alcohol. The guy goes down to the bar after work when he's depressed and just wastes his time and sits there. Drinks away his troubles. In these days, it's even more drastic. It's drugs. Getting that euphoria that you can't get in life because you can't find that happiness and that joy. You understand there's a lot of frustrated people in this world today. A lot of angry people. What's the source? It's depression. What's the spiritual provision? What does God give us as a cure? Three things. If you get nothing else, get this tonight. What do you do when you get in the midst of this depression? Number one, look inward and analyze your heart. Look inward and analyze your heart. Recognize that when you're in the midst of that depression, you're putting yourself first. You're consumed with yourself. Have you ever, folks, all of us, have dealt with someone else that's going through the throes of depression? They can't see past themselves. When these things overcome them, it's not a sinful thing necessarily. They just can't see past themselves. Everything is focused right here. And when this happens, we need to look inside and realize, hey, my problem is I'm focused on me and me alone. Whether that's justified or not is not the problem. Job was justified at looking at him and him alone when he's covered from boils to the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. But nonetheless, justified or not, it caused his depression. Moses looked at his circumstances. Elijah looked at his circumstances. John the Baptist with his question. Justified, yes. But they looked at themselves. They looked inward and didn't recognize that was going to be the problem. In verse 5, David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" Then notice the end of the verse. He finds the solution. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." David is going to turn the tables from depression to praise because he's going to take the focus off of himself and put it on God. That doesn't mean he's going to understand his circumstances. Doesn't mean you're going to understand your health issues. Doesn't mean you're going to understand the emotions of things. But it means you get it in perspective. Instead of saying, "Why, God? Why, God? We begin to ask ourselves, why? In verse 9, he's saying, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? In verse 5, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. When we get to these places of depression and we look inward and analyze our heart, we need to say, why am I questioning God? I've been through rough times before. I've been through disquieted times in my heart before. I've been downcast before. Why would I question God? We know the promises, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And yet we ask the question, why hast thou forgotten me? Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. Has the world ended? Then He's still with us. He's not talking collectively of everybody, He's talking individually. He's still with us. Has He not said that God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able? Anything God puts you through, you know what God said? He can handle it. She can handle it. I wouldn't let it happen if I didn't think they could. If God has that kind of confidence in us, that's enough to lift our spirits right there. God, you have enough confidence in me to think I can handle this? The promise of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those that love Him. To those that love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. When we get through that time of spiritual depression, we need to look inward and analyze our hearts. Realize we're putting the focus right here. And the focus needs to be turned toward God. So number one, look inward and analyze your heart. Number two, look upward. After you look inward, now look upward and recognize your help. Look upward and recognize your help. Look at verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindnesses in the daytime. That's when David was crying. And in the night, that's when David was crying. God will command His loving kindnesses in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me and my prayer unto the God of my life. His song shall be with me. His loving kindnesses in the daytime. Look, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Here's David going through a time of depression. 1 Samuel chapter 30. We'll not tell the story of David and him pursuing the Philistines. And when he comes back, the Amalekites have attacked his camp. They've killed everybody, taken the women and children captive. And David's men turn on him. Can you imagine? You led us off into battle, and while we're at battle, the Amalekites came in to Ziklag and took our wives and our children. And it says in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. There's our biblical word. We don't have the word depression in the Bible. But David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Notice the end of the verse. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. When depression comes, we look inward and analyze our heart. We look upward and recognize our help. Our help is in the Lord, which made heaven and earth, the Bible says in one place. Our help is God. Sometimes God allows us to get into these places of discouragement or distress or depression so that we will learn to understand that the only place we can look is up. God will take the floor out from under us and let us fall so that we can understand that when we do, we have to look up. And God is the great orchestra leader. He can lead all the things that happen together and cause them for His purpose. But the only way He does that is when we look to Him. Spiritual provision is this: look inward and analyze your heart. Look upward and recognize your help. And the number three, finally, look forward. Look inward, look upward, look forward, and realize your hope. Look forward and realize your hope. You know what my favorite phrase was for the last 7.5 weeks? When people would talk about the situation, and maybe you heard me say this, "This too shall pass. This too shall pass." Notice what David said in verse 11. Again, verse 11, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me?" But notice here, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet, that's future, that's looking forward, I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance." And I love this. Look at that last phrase, "who is the health of my countenance." Look at the end of verse number 5. Verse 5 and verse 11 are almost identical. They start out the same. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." But notice the end of verse 5. "For I shall yet praise Him for the health of His countenance." And then the end of verse 11, "the health of my countenance." You know what that shows you? When you look to God and look at Him, it affects your countenance. When you look at His face, it affects your face. I just read recently back there in Exodus when Moses was getting the commandments from God, and when he came down from the mountain and he came down to see the people, that his face shone because he'd been in fellowship with God. His face was shining so bright, he had to put a veil over his face to talk to the people, because the brightness of his countenance was blinding them. When you look upon the countenance of God, it affects your countenance. And the one thing that we need when we go through depression is the help of His countenance to affect the health of our countenance. David found a remedy for his depression. David found an answer for all these things. And in verse 11, he's looking forward and realizing his hope. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my confidence, help of my countenance, and my God." We say this about troubles, about trials, about tribulation. You've either just come through it, or you're going through it now, or it's right around the corner. Reasons for depression. You've either just gone through it, or you're going through it now, or it's coming tomorrow. Why? Because you have mental issues? Because you have medical issues? No, because you're human. You're in a frail body that's been affected by the fall. And you're prone to these different things. And if Moses and David and Job and Paul and John the Baptist went through it, I don't care how holy and righteous you are, you're going to have bouts with it too. And the next time the depression comes, remember, what was that psalm the preacher preached on that night? Write it down in the front of your Bible. Write it down on one of those black pages. Just put depression, Psalm 42. And the next time it happens, get to that psalm. Read about what happened to David and the results it had and say, "That's what's happening to me." You don't need a psychologist at $150 an hour to tell you that. "That's what's happening to me. I cry day and night. I wonder where God is. It's affecting people around me." What can I do? Look inward. Look upward. Look forward. This too shall pass. You'll come out the other end. You say, what if this is an end of life thing? It's still going to pass. Because you're going to get to heaven in a glorified body where there's no heartache, no tears, no sorrow, no health issues, no financial issues, no problems, no worries. You know what? If we went into that in our natural body, we'd have a heart attack the first day. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to fret about. I mean, we couldn't handle that. So God has to give us a glorified body to be able to handle that perfect environment. But until then, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why is my heart disquieted within me? Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, thank you that in your word you gave us everything that we need. Father, not just the spiritual things like the armor of God, not just the theological things like sanctification and salvation, but Father, the very practical things that affect humanity every day. Things like